Heading into our last hour on Coast to Coast, and I don't care what the clock says for those who have already sprung forward. We're not an OT. This is our regular. And I'm so glad that we're not doing 3 hours because we're just getting to the good part, which is when you jump in. Gave you the numbers. It's also on the website if you need it at coasttocoastam.com because we'll take your call for Carl Abrahamson next. Church of Satan and Anton LaVey on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Somebody tweeted me a quote I want to run by Carl Abrahamson about Anton LaVey. But first, let's get going on the first-time caller line. Logan is in Utah on Coast to Coast AM for Carl. Go ahead, Logan.
Hi. Hi, Carl. I actually took a class in college, a magic and religion course, and we studied a lot about different religions and so forth. And one of them we studied about was your father's religion, and I got to read an article that was written by him, pretty much an argument for why he believes the way he believes and so forth. And in that article, it specified that he believed that eventually we would go back to the way of the fittest, the survival of, you know, the jungle, survival of the fittest and so forth. And I was kind of wondering how that fits in with society and government. So do you guys believe in socialism, or are you more like a capitalistic kind of a belief system? Because capitalism seems to be more on the lines of that. Socialism, you're taking care of everybody. So that's my first question. And then my other question that I have is really simple too, and that is, when I was a kid, well, basically 25, my cousin came back from the Navy. He was a Navy SEAL. And I had that one of those moments where I was like, I need to go out and find out who I am. And he said something that was really profound. He said to me, he said, Logan, that's crap. He says, you don't go out and find out who you are. You decide who you want to be, and then you go and do it. And so I just kind of wanted to get your input on that.
Interesting. Well, Carl, let's go ahead and correct him on the idea just a little bit up front about Anton LaVey wasn't your dad, but you had known him for a very long time.
So let's begin there. That's not the case. But thank you. It was felt honoring when you said that. But I do want to about sort of translating the philosophy into politics. That's very, very enticing. You know, it can be very interesting to go down that rabbit hole in a way. If you look at LaVey and the Satanic Bible, and you sort of try to distill that into political philosophy, he never made any doubts or any. He was very inspired by Ayn Rand. And then you have that kind of
ultimate capitalist.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have the libertarian streaks that you can sort of pull from the Ayn Randian universe, right, in a way. So that said, you would say that, yeah, he was probably more in favor of capitalism and more in favor of a libertarian individualistic streak. Of course, LaVey's Satanism is all about individualism. So there you have that taken care of. However, and this is me talking, not necessarily him, but he actually once said that, you know, humans are social animals and we need to interact with other people because we cannot isolate ourselves completely in life. We need other people and other institutions for simply surviving. So I think, and this is me talking again, that he felt that on the whole, there needs to be a structure that takes care of certain basic needs and allows for people to interact freely. That's a very important word here, freely and without restraint. So I would, you know, call him like a proto-American in a way, right, in that sense. And I'm sure that growing up in America of the 1930s and 40s, that was still sort of recovering from the Great Depression. And then you had the thing of the Second World War and America becoming, you know, included in that or choosing to be active in that. Right. And then the reparations after the Second World War. You had this kind of booming aspect. You know, I'm thinking about the 50s specifically, where cars went crazy in design. There was affluence. There was big bosom movie stars. And, you know, you had this sort of exuberant life-affirming force. And I think he liked that a lot. And part of that was, of course, it was capitalism. It was like a market-driven economy where people could be, as you say in the States, be the best you can be and try to go down that path of success. I think he was all in favor of that. And it's, that's not only me thinking that. That's where, the way he wrote about these things also. So I would say, yeah, he was for a market economy, capitalistic society, yet acknowledging that we are not alone. We are not isolated units that simply has this sort of barter economy with each other. There needs to be structure also. And again, he was certainly a fan and a friend of law and order. He wanted, you know, there to be law and order. So that would require, you know, a police force and an army to protect the values and stuff like that. You can extend on these things forever. But that, I hope that gives you a clear indication that he was certainly more on the capitalist.
Right. And which is, you know, if you're talking about it in terms of religion, Christianity is an interesting case because it lends itself to being socialist. The taking care of one another, creating environment where, you know, the priority is on feeding the poor and clothing the naked and, you know, and comforting the bereaved. And that is what, I mean, so there are lots of socialist Christian parties, political parties around the world that believe in that. And they would say that they're socialist from that standpoint. And I think I just don't know. I think it's not exclusive to Christianity. I think that's where a lot of things, it really all depends on what group you're in and what, which part of the religious message are you going to prioritize?
Yeah, exactly. And for the second question about your Navy SEAL brother there, I think, you know, he's right in a way, but you cannot go out and be a go-getter and sort of define that without self-knowledge. You know, not in my mind anyway. I think you have to have a stable basis of self-knowledge before you become that go-getter who defines and sort of grabs what you want. The one does not exclude the other, I would say. And I'm sure that LaVey would agree there.
You could do it simultaneously. You can go inside and find out who you are while you're deciding who you're going to be and then vectoring in that direction. Yeah, I think I thought it was actually pretty good advice, too. All right, we'll go east of the Rockies. No, let me get to west of the Rockies first. Linda is in Spokane on Coast to Coast AM. Linda?
Good morning.
You still there, Linda? Go ahead.
Yes.
Morning.
Yes, good morning. It's now 2 o'clock when it should be 1 o'clock, but I guess that's the way good old Father Time wants it. I like what you said, who cares? Anyways, I wanted to say that the Satanic Bible says, do no harm, convert no one. Yet the biblical Bible was full of killings and destroying tribes because they wouldn't follow the edict of some misogynic God, and it was full of innocent animal sacrifices. It was full of God forcing Isaiah to take his son Isaac up on a mountain and lift a knife ready to stab him to prove his allegiance, loyalty to God. It was what God did to Job, making him lose his family, his land, everything, practically killing him just to make a point that he was loyal to God. I mean, I think that Satan is really the true God. And I think that biblical Yahweh or whatever he wants to be called is the false God. I even heard.
Okay. I got it. We got to get in here somewhere. I appreciate the, but for somebody who's speaking against Christianity, you're doing a pretty good job of controlling the podium. Stand by for a second. So here we go, Carl. I mean, I think these are exaggerated, sort of intentionally amplified things that are in the Christian Bible and saying, or the Hebrew Bible, and they're saying God did this. Well, yeah, God tested Abraham, but as the story goes, with full knowledge that he was never going to go through with it. However we look at that, we know that Anton LaVey wrote the Bible, the Satanic Bible, himself. He didn't claim that it had divine origin, and it certainly didn't come about like the original Bible did, which was an aggregation of different stories that had been collected orally and then written down over 1,000 years. He had the advantage of just writing a book, and he wrote a book. Are there things that are in the Satanic Bible that you don't agree with?
Well, it's a tough question, and not because I haven't given it thought. You know, I believe that, and that probably has to do with where I come from. You know, Sweden, Scandinavia is so solid, stable. We have a lot of things taken care of that Americans have to, you know, fight for or get over. And I'm thinking of like social security and that kind of safety net in a way. So the really harsh tones that can come from an Ayn Randian perspective, or this, you know, the guy Ragnar Redbeard, who wrote the book Might is Right, I can find that being kind of crude and primitive in a way, and unnecessarily inflexible. It's a very sort of dogmatic and demagogic language that I sometimes have a hard time trying to figure out, can this be applied in reality? However, some things can be true in philosophy and can be inspiring. And again, I'm thinking of Nietzsche and Zarathustra. That was very important for LaVey, you know, where you have this concept of the Superman or the Overman overcoming all of his own personal weaknesses and stuff. Then it works for me. Then you can apply Ragnar Redbeard and Might is Right on. I can apply that on myself.
Right.
The problem becomes when you push it out into the greater culture or greater society. And that's why I have to stress over and over again that LaVeyan philosophy is really an individualistic philosophy. I'm sure there are members of many different political inclinations. I know for a fact there are. And all of them are valid for those people. It's when you try to enforce something collectivist or collective,
sure,
that it becomes a problem.
Right.
Because
yeah,
then
that.
You're proselytizing. Then you're saying that, you know, LaVey meant this or LaVey meant that. And that's exactly the same mistake as all of the...
That he was reacting to.
Made.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think I can see that. Yet, at the same time, there were some things. I'll just speak freely on this. I really don't like, and I mean, I'm repulsed by, it's this LaVeyan Satanistic interest in Charles Manson, that his daughter, Zena, was involved in a movie about Charles Manson, where I don't think it was critical of Charles Manson. I haven't seen the film, but based on what I was reading about it, they were attracted to that, the darkness of somebody like that. But the guy was a mass murderer. I mean, he didn't always draw the knife or shoot the gun, but he was involved in all of those awful things that happened, and many of them that we'll never know about. So I look at that and I go, you know, how enlightened are they if suddenly the followers of Anton LaVey are touting Charles Manson as some sort of model for something? Can you track with that?
Happy though. That LaVey hated Manson. For him, Manson was just a loser, perpetual loser, criminal, druggy, horrible person who rightly got what he deserved. You know, whether he killed someone or not, he deserved what he had coming to him. And that was, for a fact, LaVey's personal point of view. What Zena and some of those other people who wanted to bask in the perhaps the light of the father and the dark light of Zena's father, and creating a very sort of, I don't know, a negative.
It was a cult.
Looking at things and people that were really unsavory, you know, flirting with totalitarianism, flirting with people like Manson. And, you know, when you scratch the surface and look at all these things, all these phenomena, they're just perpetual losers that will never give any headway. And they will end up in prison, just like Manson, or the totalitarian governments, whatever, ended in rubble.
Right.
And LaVey was all for constructive, life-affirming, life-enhancing things. And Charles Manson was none of that. So that's the problem you have when someone tries to sort of steal the show in a way. and sort of define things, whether or not outspokenly in the name of the Church of Satan or not, it's a problem. It can be a real problem.
Yeah.
When someone post facto, after his death, you know, tries to define what he's like. And that's why I hope that my book will do him justice, to shine a light on who he really was.
And that's fair. And I hope you feel like this conversation honors that, right? I mean, I hope you don't feel
absolutely.
Attacked. Okay.
No,
I will tell you,
no.
Yeah, and I feel your pain on the idea of having people misrepresent my faith on the basis of the extreme bad examples. And that's that to me is always odd that people have to go down that route instead of actually talking about what it stands for, to pick, you know, to sort of cherry pick different things and pull that out. Do we have time? I think we have time for one caller, as long as everybody's quick. Elizabeth is on a first time caller line in Marin County, California. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi. I grew up in San Francisco. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. We just got to get to you quick.
Okay. I grew up in San Francisco in Presidio Heights. I went to Sarah Dix Hamlin School and in my kindergarten class in 1964-65. Anton LaVey visited my kindergarten class with his tiger. I believe it was a tiger.
It's a pet lion. Pet lion.
Oh, okay. So it was also a picture was taken for the San Francisco Chronicler Examiner. And it was brought up a couple years ago on the school's Facebook page. They posted it, but I've blocked the picture.
That's
so
funny.
That's just a little trivia.
Yeah. You were there. I mean, let me just ask you a question, and then we'll have to get to the bottom of the hour break. But what do you remember about that? I mean, you saw the line. You saw the guy. Do you remember how you felt about that man's presence in the room?
No, it felt very safe. He did was very tall with the bald head. I believe I was 5 or 6 years old in kindergarten. It was just more of the tiger. I thought it was a tiger, but more of the lion.
A big cat. Whatever the big cat was that he had with him. Yeah, that's what you were focused on. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for that question. Carl, I've got 30 seconds. Do you want to do a quick follow-up on that story? Because that sounds like a very typical LaVey story.
Yeah, typical. And this is a great clip from an American kids show called Brother Buzz. It should be available on YouTube. It's funny. It's when he takes the pet lion, same era, to a shopping market and talks to kids with it. It's really funny. Brother Buzz.
Brother Buzz. It's on YouTube. Okay, so we just have one last half hour. People are waiting to talk to you, Carl Abrahamson. The book, again, is you can link up to it so easily at coasttocoastam.com. Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan, and with a foreword by Mitch Horowitz. So this is a guy, as Carl's been talking about, who really was not the image that people thought that he was projecting. That for him, it was about rugged American individualism. It was about ultimate liberty expression. You got a problem with that? Got the numbers coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Thank you for your wait. We'll get you an order. If you're up, we'll find you. Coming up next, use those numbers and we'll knock them down one after another. We'll get you in the conversation with Carl Abrahamson next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I've learned so much about Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan, not just from the audiobook that I got from Amazon earlier this week, but also because of Carl Abrahamson's answers to my questions. Has he answered yours yet? Let's find out. Monty's West of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM for Carl Abrahamson. Monty?
Yes. Hi, Carl. Our paths have run parallel but never crossed. Anyhow, I wonder if you would talk about Nick Bugis's fabulous documentary that he did on Anton, Speak of the Devil, and the Den of Iniquity, and a lot of the artwork that was lost when they tore down the Black House, and his resurgence in really bringing back Todd Browning's Freaks.
Right. That's some hefty questions, but important ones. Let's begin with Nick Bugis's documentary. It's the one called Speak of the Devil. Came out in 1993, and that was at the same time. It was made the same time that I was hanging out there. So I feel very at home with that film. It gives me a flashback almost. And it's interviews with LaVey and also clips from movies that he liked, and also a tour of the house, the way it was then, with all the synthesizers that he had in his kitchen and the Den of Iniquity in the basement, which was like a bar he had built, complete with mannequins, like what he called the artificial human companions. So it was basically like a great museum, like I said, a projection from his mind. And the Bugas film shows that really well. And that's a good thing that he did that, and that so many people were there taking pictures. Because as you said, when the house was demolished, it was actually looted beforehand. A lot of people came in, it was barred, and it was just people stole things, took things away. Some legitimately taking into storage personal items, effects, but a lot of it was just destroyed and was sort of derelict when slightly before it was torn down, which is a shame.
Yeah, it sure is.
What was the third question?
He was asking about Todd Browning's Freaks, that he played a part in bringing back that classic movie.
Yeah, that's a long story, but I've written about it in the book, and it's great. Basically, LaVey gave recommendations because he had been around on that circuit and knew a lot of those freaks personally, like Johnny Eck, the half-man. So he was very, very well aware of the Todd Browning film, and he loved it. He was approached in the early 60s, late 50s, by a film club in San Francisco who wanted to show films about, you know, the fantastic and the uncanny, and he immediately recommended you have to show Freaks. And then it took some time, a long time, before they could even find a print, because the film was basically forgotten. But this lady who ran that film society in San Francisco found the print, had it restored, cut a new negative from it, and that was the part of the resurgence. It was shown on the film festival circuit and then taken into distribution and eventually taken back by MGM, I think, in sort of limited distribution. So it was LaVey's recommendation that set out the hunt for as good a print as possible, because it was a completely forgotten and discarded film, even by the studio. So, yeah, he was instrumental in that. I found that out, and I've written about it in the book. It's a really fascinating story, and I'm so happy he did that and that they did that, because Freaks is just an incredibly satanic film.
Yeah, one of us, one of us. You know, I bet you don't know this. Todd Browning, the director, his uncle was a baseball player, a professional baseball player, and his nickname was the Louisville Slugger, and that's why the company that made the baseball bats that are called Louisville Sluggers are named after Todd Browning's uncle.
That's amazing. A true American gem story.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, Pete Browning was his name. He was a really good ball player. All right, let's go to, this is Tony, who's in Arizona on Coast to Coast AM. Tony?
Hi there.
Hey.
Nice to speak to you again, my friend. I have a couple of questions. One is, I'm hearing you guys say that the house was demolished.
Yeah.
I had heard through TV and such that guitar player from Led Zeppelin bought that house. And
no, you're getting it confused with Aleister Crowley.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my next, thank you. My next question is everything that I've heard about hell through the Bible and such is it's a pretty gnarly place. Why would somebody live a life here on earth enjoying all of the things that they enjoy for a short time, but then later on are going to have to spend the rest of their eternity in a place that's not very nice? Why would somebody join that religion?
Well, they did. We had talked about this earlier, that a belief in hell is not something which is part of Church of Satan. And in fact, they don't believe in any entity. So they don't believe in a physical devil or in a physical hell. So it's much more about liberating yourself now, is what we've been hearing, not this notion of, you know, working up to some eternal rest where you will whatever happens to you is whatever happens to you. So I decided I correct that so we don't have to spend too much time on that. But I mean, it's a fair question, but I think we've already addressed that pretty well. Let me go to Zach in Ohio on Coast to Coast AM for Carl Abrahamson. Go ahead, Zach.
I just wanted to thank you for taking my call, and you kind of answered my question just a second ago. Because my original question was, did Carl believe in demons? And if so, can they manipulate your free will?
Well, that's an interesting question. Carl, talk about the relationship between the demonic and the Church of Satan.
Okay, cool. I can do that. No, I don't believe in demons, and therefore I don't believe that they, whatever they are, can manipulate my free will. Because the demons of our cultural lore, of our culture basically, stem from specifically Christian iconography that was created in the medieval times, and slightly earlier also, to create, you know, like boogeymen to scare kids with and to scare the populace with. And of course you have these vistas of horrible hell and horrible scenarios of eternal punishment. And it's just like a power structure. It's a power thing where you tell people that get in line or you will be eternally damned. And of course, if you have nothing as a reference, no, you know, no knowledge, no insight, no wisdom, you do get in line because you don't want to be punished eternally. But right. I would say that there perhaps, you know, you could look at the human psyche and call the unconscious that might, you know, contain some demonic things that we need to address. Otherwise, it will bite us in the butt. You know, the psychologist Carl Jung talked about acknowledging the shadow in ourselves. That could be, you know, poetically called, you know, perhaps a devil force or a demonic force, in the sense that if we don't address it, it will become an even stronger force that, as you suggest, could control our life and possibly, you know, our will also. So we have to be aware of the dark side of nature, the dark side of our psyche, our unconscious. We have to address things that we are becoming informed, you know, either by the body or the mind, to be full individuals. You have to have the entire spectrum acknowledged. Otherwise, you have some kind of neurosis popping up sooner or later.
Let's go to Wayne, who's in Tacoma, Washington, on Coast to Coast AM. Wayne, I think we answered this question, but go ahead.
Well, got a comment, a serious comment and question then. The comment is, someone wants you for dinner. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You're not a match for him alone, but there's only one way to escape. And if you don't take it, your chances are zero.
Okay.
The question is, Jane Mansfield joined the Church of St. joined the church. Carl, do you know what month she joined the church? Because a friend of mine, she gave a phone call to a Hollywood friend of mine about May. Of the 67, the year she died.
So go ahead, Carl.
Those specifics. I only know that whenever they did hang out, they had a great time, and they were immortalized by many paparazzi photographers. And I think they did have a fling, whether it was just like a short-term thing or not. But I don't know exactly when they were in contact or when she joined. As I said before in the show, LaVey had this tendency, or it was his shtick in a way, to hand membership cards to people and say, now you're a member. Whether or not that was the case or whether or not she was actively engaged on a deeper level, we will never know. It's part of the American myth.
Think what he's hinting at is what a lot of people claim online, is that the devil killed Jane Mansfield, or God punished Jane Mansfield, depending on who you listen to, for joining the Church of Satan. And so if you look at it, she joins and then she's dead. And there's been this sort of internet narrative about that for a long time. I'm not espousing it, but I think that's what he was hinting at. Wildcard line, my friend Toxic Reverend in California on Coast to Coast AM. TR, you have a question for Carl Abrahamson.
So I do. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be quick because I know we're short. Carl, question for you. you're talking about getting to know yourself, and I wonder if there's the church had a structure to that, like an inventory. If I'm aware of some of the pagans or Wiccans will have an inventory like that where they'll use the four elements to signify different parts of your personality, or the Anonymous 12 Steps that are all based on Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll use a regular inventory that they have it written out in a book, and you share that with people to help you get to know yourself so you can find your weaker parts and strengthen them, become the person you want to be. And it helps you on that journey to get there because you take an actual inventory of your stock and trade.
I like that.
Off air. Thank you.
That's great. So was there ever a method to that? Did they ever, teach this is what you do, the steps on how to become more enlightened about who you really are?
Right. I would say not in the imperative sense, not in the sense that do this and that will follow. Do this, these steps. But there was certainly in the Satanic Bible, and also, what they were up to in this first decade of the Church of Satan, there were these things called, the Satanic Statements and the Rules of the Earth, meaning almost like a PowerPoint program of clearly defined wisdom. And those points applied to an intelligent, thinking human being could be seen as, encouragements to take steps in redefining or redefining yourself. So right. I would say yes and no. No clear method in the sense that, it's a program, you begin with this and you do that. But the wisdom or the teaching is clearly laid out in the Satanic Bible, and specifically in these sort of, statements and point forms that really defines, that codifies what Satanism is, what it means.
Okay. Let's go to first-time caller line. Hank is a trucker in Kansas on Coast to Coast. Hank?
Carl, Ian, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing all right. Welcome to the Sunflower State.
Thank you. All righty. Now, if memory serves me right, Anton passed away in 97, and you also said that he was an avid viewer of movies. My question is, did he ever see The Exorcist?
That's a great question.
So, what was his opinion of it?
I think he saw it was a comedy. It was like a Buster Keaton movie for him. Yeah. I'm asking. Yeah. So, what did Anton LaVey think of The Exorcist?
I think that he, in a way, took credit for having popularized the Jack themes, and that's why he was giddy when he was talking about Rosemary's Baby, because that was just a couple of years after the release of the formation of the Church of Satan, which was widely written about in media internationally. So, of course, I think that affected Ira Levin to write the book. It was an integration in society of these themes that, wow, there are these people called Satanists, and what do they represent? So I think that the cheaper or the more exploitative versions, like Bill Blatty's The Exorcist book and the movies, that I think were the three movies, I think
right.
LaVey acknowledged that he was in part a part of making that happen. Then they are pretty cheesy and corny, and they're quite good as horror movies. But
I think The Exorcist is a really good movie. Hands down, it's William Friedkin's best movie. It's a solid narrative. The other ones, I don't know anything about them. I think I saw part of.
Yeah, no, I agree. The first one is good, and
it's
the book
great.
Is good too. But what I mean is that I think that LaVey sort of cocked a fairly critical eye on the content
right.
and the, sort of the morals of the story. But I did perceive that he found himself to be integrated in the process in the sense of popularizing diabolical
sure.
themes in that specific era of American culture.
I'll join you on that. I'm sure he would have. The Omen, The Exorcist, and Rosemary's Baby. And then if I'm really feeling it, I just Race with the Devil is also a fun movie, but not because it's a great film. All right, Doreen is west of the Rockies, and she has a statement. Doreen, it says here on my screen that you were a member of the Church of Satan.
Yes, I was in the 1960s. I'm in my 80s now. Excuse me, I got a cough here. I was a member of the Satanic Church for many years in the 60s. And Carl is doing a wonderful, accurate job of depicting Anton. I'm feeling very, very nostalgic.
in a positive way, because you enjoyed that experience and it was good for you.
Yes, it was wonderful. It was great. And every Friday night, we had our church services at 12 midnight. So I never got to bed on Friday night because after that, we all went out to breakfast at a restaurant on California Street that was open 24 hours. But it was great.
What happened in the Black Masses?
What happened?
Yeah.
Sometimes Anton and sometimes other people would do a sermon. And sometimes it could have been mime-like. Sometimes it was generating power, self-power. And we always did have a nude altarpiece.
Were you ever the nude altarpiece?
I wasn't. However, one night the nude altarpiece was really cold, so I gave her my coat to wear.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Doreen, thank you so much for calling. That's so interesting. Could I ask you, I'm just going to put you on hold if you want to. That'd be great. Donna, if she'll give you a number, I'd love to be able to talk to her sometime at length on the air. And thank you, Carl Abrahamson, for a great book. I hope you had a terrific time. All of the questions were great. Everybody was very well behaved. It was very interesting. And thank you for giving us such an epic introduction to something which many people think of as just being locked behind closed doors. We'll see you in April. Deus te amat. And I do too.